Tango Tango Papa 2091, December 21st, 2021.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you again from home. It's actually this afternoon on the 21st. It's about 4:02 p.m., still daylight. So I ended up meeting my youngest brother and his wife for lunch. So then I came back home and just kind of been messing around with the computer a little bit. So I decided to go ahead and record another podcast. Why not? So in any event, I guess the thing to do is just to get right into it. I had a friend, you know, what I've been doing since I have the time to do it, I'm here at home for my vacation. What I've been doing is cutting out the main chunk of the video portion that I'm putting up on YouTube of the entire podcast. I'm cutting out the chunk where I'm just talking about the topic that I'm talking about, and posting that actually to Facebook. And so that, you know, I don't know how many people are actually viewing that, but I did get a response, a nice response. And so I'm going to kind of read the response and talk about the whole thing even more. So this friend replied on Facebook. He says, "I think salvation comes from external definitions, while meaning comes internally." And so I liked his comment, and then I thought about it. You know, I didn't respond right away, and I kind of ended up thinking about it a little bit later. And so this is my reply, my initial reply. "I've since thought about it a bit more. External definitions are a useful guide, but I believe genuine salvation revolves around truly reconciling with one's conscience. I don't believe it's possible to find genuine meaning and at the same time be at odds with conscience. Conscience is far more powerful than we give it credit for. For example, I don't believe it's possible to simply adopt a new value system by simply stating it. I think to really know one's true values, it's important to examine one's actual behavior to discern values as opposed to simply stating a set of values. It is incredibly easy to deceive oneself. An excellent example of this from the world of fiction is the novel Crime and Punishment by Fyodor Dostoevsky. He's a Russian novelist. In it, the main character, Rodion Raskolnikov, kills an unscrupulous pawnbroker and steals their money. He convinces himself the world would be better off without the pawnbroker and comes up with all sorts of plans how he is going to not only raise himself out of poverty, but also perform great deeds. He goes through with the murder and subsequent theft and then afterwards struggles with guilt and horror over what he has done. While this is a work of fiction, Dostoevsky does a fantastic job of exploring the principles involved. The Raskolnikov after committing the crime is never the same afterwards. If you are not familiar with the novel, I highly recommend it, though I'll warn you that Dostoevsky can be a bit difficult to read and keep track of all the Russian names of the characters." And Just to, I kind of re, because he replied to me again, but I'm going to go ahead and just sort of reiterate what I just read that I actually wrote. Genuine salvation, as I said, you know, I think it revolves around being one with, making friends with, conscience. And it's my personal belief that conscience is God talking to us. Now, we do have free will when it comes to that. You know, people debate about free will, whether it exists or not. But we do have free will, I believe, when it comes to whether or not we listen to our conscience, or whether, you know. And so I thought about this a little further, and you know, the Christian idea of, you know, kind of asking Jesus into your heart, you know, at one point he says, I'll send you a Holy Spirit. And so I think that that could be useful. You know, Jesus could act as a, or whatever that Holy Spirit is, could act as a sort of a catalyst to help you unify with your conscience. But you got to ask for it. Now, when people pray, you know, Christians pray, and they pray this, quote, the so-called sinner's prayer, and they're, you know, asking Jesus to come live in their heart and take over their life and what have you. You know, and then they kind of say that they give the, you know, give their life to Jesus or whatever. That's all well and good. I'm not making fun of it. But the problem is, the question really is, are you sincere? If you do that, are you sincere? How do you know that you're sincere? How do you really know that? I've often asked myself that question. How do I know when I'm being sincere? And it's not as straightforward as you think it is. So, but I think if you can somehow be sincere in asking that question, or you know, let's say asking Jesus to send you a Holy Spirit, if you can be sincere about that, even if you've, you know, you've got some doubts or whatever, I think that if you are really looking for something, you're looking for real answers, then at that point, something can happen. So let's say that you do that, but you're really looking for answers and not just looking for, you know, something to sort of soothe you, you know, kind of like a soothing balm to soothe your ego. If you can really do that, then it's possible that that, whatever that Holy Spirit is, and of course we're dealing with biblical language, whatever that is, maybe it's just an attitude, for example, or maybe, I don't know, something to do with conscience, consciousness. Somehow you ask Jesus to sort of open up your consciousness so you can receive that. It's not beyond the realm of possibility when it comes to consciousness, because we don't even know really what consciousness is. The people that claim they do are they're just deceiving themselves if they really think they know what it is. But let's say that you are sincere about it. I think what salvation is actually unifying with your conscience. I think that's what it actually is unifying with your conscience, because I don't, it's like I went on to say in my reply to him, I don't believe it's possible to find meaning and be at odds with your conscience at the same time. You cannot be at war with your conscience and find meaning. In that case, the only meaning that is to be found, and it's I wouldn't classify it or define it as meaning, but the only meaning that people that are at war with their conscience have is sort of tearing down the system, tearing things down, destroying things. That's the only thing they have. That's really the only thing they have. The only, you know, and then once they've torn it down, and then they, you know, they don't care. Do they realize then what they've done? You know, are they miserable after that? Maybe. They were miserable before, that's for sure. They were just using the destruction to sort of distract themselves. But I don't believe that it's possible to be able to have meaning, to find meaning, and be at war with your conscience. Don't think that's possible. You can live your life that way. You can, you know, live a life of drunkenness and, you know, all kinds of distractions or whatever. And it's not a very pleasant life. Of course, the more deeply divided you are from your conscience, the worse it is. So, but I really do believe that it's necessary to, you know, that's what salvation is reconciling with conscience. And perhaps Jesus, you know, Jesus is the path to that. If you're, you know, because otherwise you're a slave. All who sin are slaves. All who sin are missing the mark. All who sin are slaves. And slave, that really means slave. You mean, you know, you know, people are slaves to all kinds of different things. And, you know, maybe the best you can do is maybe swap one thing for another. But, you know, in that state. So, you know, and then the other part I went on, you know, about, and I've said this many times before, we can say what our values are. We can say, well, I believe in this and I believe in that and what have you. But at the end of the day, you know, you got to examine your own behavior and find out what, you know, and be honest about it. How did I respond in these different situations? That's what you have to look at. And then you can kind of work backwards and maybe discover sort of back engineer and sort of discover what your real values are. And then maybe you can be, you know, and they may not be what you think they are. You know, chances are they're not what you believe them to be. There's going to be some flaws in there, no doubt. Then it's up to you to be honest and face that. But it's not simply a matter of, you know, just mouthing words. You know, you've got to be, I really believe you have to be introspective about these things. And if you're serious about these things, then you will be introspective. So, let's see. And so the Crime and Punishment novel by Dostoevsky, like I said before, and I've said this before, it's a very long book. It's a very good book, novel. Dostoevsky was just a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant novelist. Now, the problem that, you know, English speaker is going to have is the Russian names and kind of keeping track of them. And, of course, I've listened a couple of times to the audiobook version of it. I have an Audible account. And I've listened through a couple of times on that, and it's, with the main characters, it's kind of easy to remember which character's which, but then there's many, many, many side characters. And it can kind of get confusing. So that, you know, it's, if you're actually reading the book, then it might be a good idea to, you know, kind of make notes of the characters' names and what they are, you know, and it might be a little bit easier if you're reading it versus listening to a 30-hour long or however long it is. It may even be longer than that 40-hour audiobook, because obviously that can't be listened to all in one day. So when I listen to audiobooks that are really long, it ends up breaking them up over a number of days, actually, or even weeks, depending on, you know, because I'm not listening to this stuff constantly. I, you know, I kind of give myself breaks every so often, because sometimes it's just nice to drive down the road and you know, I enjoy that too. But in any case, I do recommend the book, and any Dostoevsky book is good. It's going to be difficult particularly because of the Russian names. But Dostoevsky does a powerful job of exploring these sorts of concepts. So anyway, he responds back. Familiar, remember the impact of this novel had on my thinking, and the Raskolnikov mental struggles were very impressive. Your reflections are well thought out. I had a cheat sheet for the names to help keep me straight. I was so thankful that this was a book I was made to read. I have so much respect for my values, most taught by great parents, but most just made great sense to me. Luckily, I limited my experience in having to live many values in my own projection and imagination, thus not having to test them before accepting them. I find myself from time to time reflecting on them and playing games. The circumstance of having to take a life or commit a crime against another in order to survive or care for my family. I remember even as a youngster testing out my boundaries by imagining situations and then choosing a path and having to imagine how I would feel, etc. I still remember how easy it was for these choices to get to various shades of gray rather quickly. Obviously, most people play out these scenarios constantly and reinforce their positions or question these positions. When actually acting out these choices, they become a reality in our lives and assume an exponentially different level of power and can become destructive. The brain goes into a much more complicated reel of function and can completely become a destructive force, calling in a variety of processes, many unconscious, and the frontal cortex loses its logical control. Torment acting out becomes unruly, and suddenly we are shifted to great mental equilibrium. Therapists have tools to help people get the toothpaste back in the tube, but each being has a spectrum of ability to be coached through these times or the willingness. In the case of most psychosis, it becomes a huge challenge, and even with external chemical and electrical tools, we are a long way from satisfactory solutions. Unfortunately, too often the pre-existing psyche is often impossible to be re-moralized. I apologize about the rambling as well as oversimplifying these concepts. I applaud you. You're taking these on. And so then I replied, I really appreciate the reply. I have been audio podcasting on a regular basis since about October of 2004, and I've talked endlessly about these sorts of topics. Talking and writing are great methods of effective thinking. If no one else benefited from all of this talking, probably in excess of 2,000 cumulative hours or more, I certainly did, and that's likely what has kept me motivated. One of the meanings of the word Israel is those who wrestle with God. I believe, in a sense, the proper approach involves constantly wrestling with conscience. Written rules are a starting point and should align with conscience. However, it is not so cut and dried. Sometimes strict following of rules results in the wrong things. In biblical stories, Jacob wrestled with God and actually got him to change his mind, although Jacob did emerge from the confrontation with a broken hip. So, you know, I think that's appropriate. You know, you sort of wrestle with God and you may not emerge completely unscathed. So, but, you know, I think that kind of going back to what I started with, salvation really is, and this is my opinion, but salvation is a unification with conscience, where you truly do make friends with it. You know, and again, you know, if you're sincere about asking Jesus into your heart, for example, then what you're really asking for is, Jesus, help me to unify with my conscience. That's what you're asking for. That's really what you're asking for. Another thing that's important to mention, you know, when people talk about in the name of Jesus, you know, they're asking for their prayer and to be answered or whatever, in the name of Jesus, you know, and what are they asking for? What are they asking for? Name, which you have to understand, name, particularly in the Bible, name means nature. So when Jesus says, ask for these things in my name, it's the same as, you know, ask for these things in my nature. If you, let's say you and I are going to have some sort of a business dealing, but I can't make it, or we're going to have some sort of a meeting or whatever it is, but I can't be there, and I send an emissary in my name, then the emissary is basically someone that's coming in my nature. If I send someone to pick something up for me, they give them my name. And so they're sort of doing it, you know, in my, you know, kind of in my nature. So you can think of it that way. But it's interesting, if you read the Bible, you know, any part in there where it's talking about names, it also means, you can read that and substitute the word nature, and it means nature. And it's also very interesting, you can actually look up then each name in these stories, and every biblical name has a meaning with it. And you can kind of, in your mind, as you read these things, and you sort of substitute the meaning of the name, the person's name, whatever the name was. It could be a place, a person, place, or thing. You can substitute the meaning of the name, and it still works. And in fact, you can, it makes the stories much, much, much deeper. Makes them far more profound. So, name means nature. So you can ask, you know, and I think that's valid. I think you could, but you have to be sincere. You know, you ask, let's say you ask Jesus, you're a Christian, and you ask Jesus into your heart. Well, what are you really asking for? You're asking, and it's useful to know what you're asking for. You're asking to be, you know, for Jesus, or, you know, to send you a spirit that'll help you unify with your conscience. That's really what you want to do, is unify with your conscience. That's really what you want to do, is unify with that conscience. And it may be a little painful, because you've spent probably a lifetime, maybe denigrating your conscience, running away from your conscience, attempting to drive a wedge between yourself and your conscience. But you want to be friends with that conscience. If you can really do that, life is absolutely different. It doesn't mean that you're not that you're suddenly perfect, and it doesn't mean that you know, that everything's just going to be a you know, like a joyride and a bed of roses. That's not what it is. But what it does mean, if you can actually unify with your conscience, if you can actually sort of make amends with, or, you know, to the point where you can unify with it, then, and kind of let the, you know, and that part of that is just sort of face the guilty conscience, you know, because, you know, that, but, you know, and you get over that, and then you're, you know, then you're not guilty anymore because you're not separated from it. Something really amazing happens, and it becomes possible to, exist in the world, interact with the world, but not take on the nature of the world. So you can be in the world and not of it. That's what that means. And so it is possible to do that, but you have to, but that's what salvation is to, you know, really to unify with conscience. But, you know, simply asking, you know, if you're not sincere about it, you know, when, and it's especially true, I think a lot of people don't realize what, you know, when they're praying to Jesus to come into their, you know, kind of come into their heart and take them over or whatever, they're not really, they don't really know what they're praying for. And I don't think a lot of preachers, you know, a lot of the typical Christian preachers have no idea what they're asking people to pray for, asking them to do. I think it's useful if you can understand. I always find it useful if I can understand something, then it kind of really makes sense. So if you can do that and be sincere about it, and then really follow it up by you know, not making it just like a little one-shot thing, but really sincerely, if you're really sincere about unifying with your conscience, making friends with your conscience, then it becomes possible to, you know, as if all of the heavy burdens are lifted. Now, like, again, it's not going to make you perfect. It's not going to make everything perfect. But it's like all the burdens are gone. And I can personally attest to that. I really can. So that's what salvation is. Now, does that mean that you're, you know, beyond that, then you can kind of really look for meaning? But I think prior to that, you're going to, if you're looking for meaning and you're still at odds with your conscience, good luck. You're going to need it, because you're likely going to be pretty damn miserable. Whatever meaning you do find is probably false. You know, of course, people have their false gods to keep themselves distracted with. So, anyway, what are we at? We're at about 29 minutes. So I think I'm going to go ahead and once again keep this short. I fiddled with the camera a little bit, and I changed one of the settings, and I'm noticing now that there's a little bit of frizz maybe around my head. Probably there's a little bit of green that's still bouncing off of it. but it's not bad. It's much better than it was before. So you can almost make yourself believe that I'm sitting in the background, which is that's what you see if you're watching the video, what you see in the background is my dining room. So that's my dining room. Actually, that looks pretty good. That is fairly realistic. It looks like I could be sitting there at that where I took the picture from and making the recording. So that's pretty, so still fiddling with the green screen thing, but I really, really am having fun with it, really enjoying it. So anyhow, hope everyone is having a great week, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.